want to thank each one of you for taking the time to come out and take part in this session. This, I think, is very beneficial for each one of us as men to rally around one another and to encourage one another along in our journey of life here. Just as far as announcements this morning, just to remind you again of the Couples Night, which is coming up next Tuesday night, which is November 19th, and that is going to be 7 o'clock here at Parkview. And then I'm just going to remind you again there on the, as far as the snack, if your last name is in the A to M range, they were asking to bring a salty or a fruit, and if you're N to Z, something in the baked line, and the drinks will be supplied. So just a reminder on that. And then the other thing that I have here yet is the Encourage Young Men is going to be starting here January 9th, and there is some papers back on the table. If you're interested in that, you can pick one up that has the information on for that. So, yeah, I think that was all the announcements that I had this morning. I think we'll ask Doug to come forward and lead us in our song this morning, and we'll go from there. So. Amen. I hope and pray, or hope that at each one of our prayer this morning, that the Lord may give us men who are secure on the rock that is sure. I'm always encouraged when we sing the song. There's so much in that. This time we have Jason with us this morning. I think he's prepared to teach, so if you come forward, Jason. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just say thank you once again for your many rich and wonderful blessings that you have blessed us with. We thank you for this privilege that we have to meet in this way, with open doors, with the freedom to be able to talk and to teach from your word. And we just say thank you for this blessing. And Lord, I just pray for the message this morning. I pray for Brother Jason as he has prepared to teach. I pray, Lord, you would empower, anoint him through your Holy Spirit. And I pray like that same Spirit could take those words and to plant them into our very hearts, that we might be able to grow and to be encouraged, to be blessed with what it is that you have for each one of us. So, Lord, I just pray for the session this morning. I pray for each one of the brethren that are here. And may your name be honored and glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's on. Now we need some volume adjustment. Okay. My experience over the years is that men, fathers, are absolutely indispensable for the future of sons and daughters. You know, we talk about how important it is for sons and men, us men, to have fathers and try to restore maybe relationships with fathers. But I just see over and over again, it's no less important. In fact, maybe it's more important. I had a gal tell me just recently, she goes, I think it's more important for gals to have a father who is invested and involved than for boys. But she was a girl. How would she know? I think it's about equal for both, but it's vitally important. So what we want to look at today is some of the challenges that are facing the gals today, the women today. I put up there, you know, it's fathers and daughters this morning, but I put in granddaughters up there. We were playing in the leaves this weekend. We had a great time. We have lots of leaves, and we made my granddaughter remembered from in the past that we pile leaves up and then they swing and drop into the leaves and we make this huge pile of leaves. And so that's what they wanted to do. And you know what? I was too tired to do it. But you know what? I would go, no, we can do this. And so we made a huge pile of leaves and they just had a blast jumping in those leaves. And then that's Jordan on the left. And she's my coffee drinking buddy every Saturday morning. But you see, what's really important to me is that I connect with them. It's really important to me that I connect with them. I want them to have a healthy, good relationship with me and their dad. But it's so important because it's vital. It's vital. I have a lot of material here, and we're going to try and scoot through it pretty quickly because it's more than what we can really cover. But what our women are dealing with, you have a handout there, but what our women are dealing with, in the last 60 years, there's been a dynamic change. Now, I'm old enough to remember that. Many of you are not. But in the last 60 years, there's been a dynamic change. Years ago, you know, it changed a lot back in World War II when women left the workforce to left the home to go into the workforce to help produce weapons and just materials for a world where the men had gone off to war. That was that's where it sort of started, when this great dynamic change in our culture. But in the last 60 years, there's been some challenges. I remember in the 60s was a revolution. It was just lots of things happened. The feminist movement started way back then, but it didn't really kick in until the 80s and 90s when it hit full bloom. But the challenge was to move away from the mothering instincts that a gal has, to move away from the home and to pursue a career. And that's a big one. It redefines how she interacts with the men in her life, too. It goes all against her normal mothering instincts. And today, women are bombarded with information about it's important to experience life and do it your way. And you're not going to be fulfilled in the home. You're going to feel trapped in the home. You need to go out and you need to go to get an education. You need to find a career. And you know, the opportunities are there. And for some women, that's maybe okay. I know a gal right now that she's pursuing a medical career. And I know another gal who's pursuing, she wants to become a science teacher. And probably in the Christian day schools, but she is going to school right now. So she's pursuing something else, but that does not mean that they're leaving the important things in life either. But I'm okay with that. It's just that the pressure to become more than just a homemaker is powerful. But you know what? The homemaker is one of the most crucial aspects of life. That's where children are formed. That's where they experience life, and moms are so important, and so dads. And there's a new holiday now. It used to be take your sons to work. Now it's take your daughters to work. You know, so there's lots of changes. Back in the '60s, Betty Friedan, she was a feminist, and she wrote The Feminine Mystique, and she called homemakers parasites. Okay, you see this insidious information. It's just keeps flowing into it. And you know, we feel like we're removed from it. I don't think we are. You see, it just seeps its way in. So it's important for us to look at that. It really is. Germaine Greer, another feminist, wrote the book called The Female Eunuch, and she calls motherhood a handicap, and she calls pregnancy an illness. Now, this message is out there. And so how will we raise daughters that think about themselves with the right priorities? Fathers and grandfathers, I think we hold a huge key in this process. There's three challenges that move us, and one of them is to go from a home to a career. The second one is the challenge of the decline of the traditional feminine values. I don't know if you ever heard of actress Sharon Stone. I get these quotes and I put them together here. And as I see it, the choice today is between being feminine or equal, and I choose equal. And you know what? The scriptures tell us that we are joint heirs together of the grace of life. Our value and our quality between men and women, we're equals. Okay, we are joint heirs together of the grace of life. We have different roles, and that's what it's so important for us to understand. A generation ago, if you would have asked what it meant to be a woman, they would have used words like feminine and soft and gentle and caring. And today, it's different. It's assertive. It's equal. It's sexy. It's independent. It's the new feminine values and it seeps in. It does seep in, and our children hear it. And now you see the whole. You see the whole craziness in our world where women want to participate in men's sports and men want to participate in women's sports, the whole cross-gender thing. We're just in a really mixed up environment. We really are. But for 200 years, the Titus II made sense. Remember, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, teaching what is good, that they may teach the young women to love their husbands and love their children, to be sensible, pure, to work in their homes, be kind and do good, that the word of God be not dishonored. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And you know, that was something we all believed, and we pretty much lived and practiced. But you know, it's that word up there says that the older women should teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to love their children, to be sensible, pure. I a couple of years ago, goes back quite a few years, Encourage Men's been going on this is the 15th year. I think it might have been like 6 years into it, 5 years into it, over in Ephrata at Cornerstone. We had a wives' night, and I asked, how many of you gals here, and there were 75 women there that night. I said, how many of you gals had mothers or older women who taught you how to love your husbands and how to be keepers at home? Okay. Do you know how many hands went up? I asked that question. Out of 75 women, two hands went up. Okay. Does that tell you something? It tells you that we are actually, as an Anabaptist group of people, we actually aren't listening to the scriptures, because the scriptures say the older women are to teach. It's actually a command. Teach what is good. Be keepers at home. And you know, we think that they're just going to catch it. And men, sometimes I think we take that for granted, that our sons and our daughters are just going to catch it, what it means to be a man or a woman. And we don't have to really invest a lot of energy or time into it. You know, Burnell, he's at a meeting for a few days here, and so he's not here this morning. But he sent me a text, and I talked with him this week. And he said, hey, one of the things that I was thinking about as I was driving home, and he was down taking a course at Life Ministries, and he was on the way home, and he called me, and he says, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about, he says, it just hit me how important a passport to purity was in our lives. You know, Burnell and his wife Lisa, they've used passport to purity. Are you acquainted with passport to purity? We've been talking about it for a number of years here, but you know, it's a way to talk to your children about sexuality. You know, God created all of us as sexual beings, and then if we don't, and I believe God gave children parents to teach about the most important things in life, and that's one of them. So if you have children, and I just talked to, I had a breakfast with a father yesterday morning, and we were talking about passport to purity. He has an 11-year-old son, and I said, you know, it's time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. You know, this is his oldest one. He has four children coming on. I know Lisa took their daughters, and Burnell took their sons, and he said it's been an amazing experience to connect with their children, and their children have valued it greatly. So men, it's one way that we can connect with our children. How many of you have had experience with Passport to Purity? Can I see any hands? Yeah, there's quite a few here. We could ask for testimonies, but we better keep moving. So Titus 2:4. Is something that's been sort of neglected, and it's no longer as impactful as it used to be. So the rise of the absent mom, this is the outgrowth of the other two. When we look at the other two, the first one was moving from a home to a career, and the second one was leaving traditional feminine values. And then the absent mom, you know, it's somewhere around 70% of mothers of children of four and under are in the workplace. Okay, that's an amazing statistic. Approximately 70% of mothers of children who are 4 years old and under are in the workplace. That's the formative years of those children's lives. It's when they need that kind of input and parental. I have a quote here by Dr. Burton White. He's the director of a preschool project at Harvard University. He says, after more than 30 years of research on how children develop well, I would not think of putting an infant or toddler of any of my own into a substitute care program like a child care program. You know, sometimes there's exceptions where there's no options with no family or something like that. But it's not an option for us brothers, okay? It depends on what you're trying to produce. What kind of children are? This is something else that we had a good discussion yesterday morning. A couple of men after I had breakfast with that young man, there was a bunch of men standing around. A few men were standing around. We were there talking, and we started talking about how some of the properties have sold in our area. Some farms. Are you acquainted with what farm prices are doing right now? Okay, an 88-acre farm sold close to us for close to $3 million. How are you going to make that pay? Another one said that they went for a loan for another farm. This man went for a loan for another farm, and he was after a 100-year mortgage, but instead he got an 80. Does that make any sense to you? Okay, it doesn't make any sense to me. But you know what? It's happening. It's happening, and it's in us. Okay, do you know who's buying those farms? Mennonite and Amish. Yeah, we are. It is. That's who's buying the farms. How in the world are we doing this? And you see what has happened is we've moved away from a doing good to doing well, and now we're doing well, and now the focus is on doing well. It's a scary thing for me that we're losing the concept of what it means to just be caring for each other. I know my brother Frank, he said that years ago. He asked my granddad, Why don't you buy the neighbor's farm? It was coming up for sale. And my granddad, he had a farm. He says, others have to farm too. But what we were talking about is is some men, church leaders even, who own 3, 4, 5 farms that they're paying these multi-big bucks for. What? Don't hear me criticizing people. I'm not trying to do that. It's just that, man, I think I'm challenging the values. I think we need to rethink some things. Are you hear me? It concerns me greatly because you know what happens? You know who falls through the cracks? The next generation. And you know what? They see the values and they pick up on it. So what does dad, you know, children need dads. What are we trying to produce, men? What's coming up in the next generations? But we're here to talk about authentic men who are real. I like that song too, Doug. The words of that song. We're here to produce faithful, authentic men. That's the goal of Encourage Men, who really take seriously what we're doing. And we men are an integral part of the decision making in the home. We're the ones who are to lead. A dad needs to understand the pressures and the issues that his daughter's going to face, and his wife too, and then to see how he can help them navigate and become the person that God has designed them to do. So when, I already quoted this without thinking that I had it up there, but when a dad is there, and he's there both physically and emotionally, he needs to be there physically and emotionally. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later here, but there, a daughter is very secure in their identity as a woman. It's important that they embrace their womanhood. Hey, if the number one man, her dad, is effective in her life and she feels cared for and loved and accepted by the way he interacts with her, and she's the most important person, the most important man in her life. And then it gives her a value system that she can keep on moving on, and she is going to use him as the gauge to interact with the other men that come into her life. So important for us to realize that. Yeah. And then observing how we deal with our wives is so important. Do we love our wives so that our children see us loving our wives? And I watch a lot of children growing up in homes where there's a lot of tension between mom and dad, and that doesn't help them with their identity at all. So when a man is there, if he's the dad that is emotionally and physically active in a healthy way in her life, she gets very comfortable with her identity. And then they can easily relate to the opposite gender. There's going to be, you know, if she grows up and she starts dating, you want her to have a healthy, interactive experience with other men in a healthy way, but that's going to come, oftentimes, comes from the way we relate to our daughters. It's really, really important. Yeah. And then after marriage, if dad is there, they generally have a highly fulfilling physical intimacy with their husband. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, the physical intimacy of a woman is directly related to her trust and to her admiration and respect of the man in her life. It really is. And so if she can admire and feel respect for her dad, it's much easier for her to transfer that to her husband. But then if her husband is the same kind of person, and that's why dads need to help their daughters. I you've heard me tell this story before, or this fact before, is when my daughter was growing up, when she was like 15, 16, 17, I just told her, I said, when a young man comes to date you, just tell her he has to talk to me first. And then I'll protect you. I want to talk with him. And if you're not interested in him, just tell me, I'll get rid of him for you. You don't have to tell him no. Okay. And you know what? That worked 3 times. I got a chance to talk to young men. Okay. And it worked pretty well. So how we interact with them and how they feel protected and cared for by us is really important. Really is. If they learn to trust and admire dad, then when they meet a man that they can admire and trust, there's a natural bondedness that occurs and then gets expressed in the physical life between the two, and it becomes fulfilling after they're married. And, you know, many of us are married to girls who did not have that healthy relationship with their dads. I'm one, okay? And she had to learn and grow, and then I wasn't the man that I should have been. So, you know, what we do here at Encourage Men, and it's exciting to me. I think Encourage Men has been one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done in my life. Because it helps us look at manhood and accept the responsibilities of manhood and step up to the plate. I have a few quotes here. Here's one by Stephen Bidoff. He's an Australian psychologist and author. Look what he says here. Daughters need some special things from fathers. One of these is affirmation, the feeling of being approved of, admired, but never invaded or exploited. They get to practice with their fathers and can gain assurance, feel worthwhile, and experience conversation and mutual admiration with a safe male. That's important. You know, you need to be the person that your girls can have a conversation with and you communicate with them. We'll talk more about that as we get toward the end here. But having a realistic understanding of male qualities and what they are like is priceless for a girl. They do not need the first boy that comes their way. I tell men, you know, be affectionate toward your daughters. Hug them. Because you see, God designed us for physical touch. He designed us for affection. He designed us for intimacy. And if our children from little on up get hugged, a dad's lap should be the safest place for a little girl to crawl up on. You hear me? And a dad's arms, when they get older, all the way up until, I don't care how old, my daughter's in her 40s, and she still gets hugs from me. And she has a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old that I'm pretty proud of those young men, okay? But she knows she's loved by dad. And she was never touched inappropriately, nor would she ever be. A dad's arm should be the safest. Okay, if you touch them inappropriately, you're going to damage them for life. You got it, man? But I believe that when we give our daughters appropriate, loving, caring affection, it jerk-proofs them. And there's lots of jerks out there that want to take advantage of your daughters and your granddaughters. Come on, men. But if you are just physically, don't think that hugs and physical affection is going to replace being there emotionally, because it won't. You got to connect with them. They need to have interaction. You need to be with them. I encourage men to date your daughters. I took my daughter and my son. I took them out on dates. We'd go out for breakfast, and then we'd talk. And you know what? I learned things in those breakfasts that I wouldn't have learned any other time, because it was just two of us. And I could hear what they had to say. I told this story, and I asked my daughter for permission. Many of you have heard it different times. But you see, one time we were sitting there eating breakfast, and my daughter looks at me, and she goes, "Dad, do you love me?" And I said, "Honey, of course I love you." And then I'm sitting there eating and going, "Why did she ask that?" I said, "So, honey, why did you ask if Dad loves you?" And she goes, "Do you remember when you slammed me up against the wall?" Okay. That was probably 3 years before. You know, she might have been 15 at the time, she might have been 12 or 13 at the time. But we were standing in the kitchen, and she was mouthing off my mother. I mean, my wife. She was mouthing off her mother. She was just really being disrespectful to Grace. And instead of me handling it with wisdom and maturity, I just grabbed her like this and went boom against the wall right aside of the refrigerator. Thunk. I said, "You will not talk to your mother that way." You know, I thought that at the time that seemed appropriate. It wasn't. It was out of anger. It was quick responsive. And you know, when she asked that question and when she told me why she asked it, if I would have said, "Well, do you remember how you were mouthing off your mom?" You know, that would have cemented that pain in her heart. But instead I said, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Dad acted out of anger, frustration, and I'm so sorry. Can you possibly find a place in your heart to forgive Dad for treating you like that?" And she goes, "Sure, Dad." And she kept eating. You know, I checked with her a couple of years later to see if she remembered it, and she didn't even remember talking about it. You see, it got rid of the pain. If I would have excused or reasoned away or not heard, that voice inside that, "Does Dad love me?" would have always been there. Do you hear that, man? Come on. I hear that from ladies, not only young ladies, I hear it from married ladies who were not treated well by their dads, and they're struggling. Okay, the second page of this says, but if dad isn't around, then what model does she have? You hear this, man? This is pretty potent. Or if dad crosses the line and touches her inappropriately, what model does she have? Dad activates the feminine life of the daughter. He acknowledges her attractiveness. And if she doesn't get it, then it's not surprising that she goes looking for this activation. If dad isn't available or interested or doesn't know what to say, then she won't learn this valuable lesson from the first man in her life. That's pretty direct talk. Listen, men, I didn't do it perfectly. You won't either. You know, they're not looking for super dads. They're just looking for men who will just be there and care and love. Okay? Don't worry about saying it just right. Just be there and just care. Play in the leaves. Play games. We have a game called Chase the Rat, and those girls just love playing Chase the Rat. So we'll sit at the table and play Chase the Rat endlessly when I want to do other things. I didn't feel like gathering those leaves up and putting them on a pile. I have a neat walker that just sucks them and puts them in the bag, and I can go out and dump it. You know, took hours to get those leaves on that pile. And I got them to help, put them on a tarp, and they hauled them over there. But you know something? I can't replace that time with those girls over the weekend. Yeah. I'll get rid of them later. You're right. That was so important. And I like what I have another writing here. It says, what I have seen that a daughter needs a father just as much as a boy. In a nutshell, you could say a girl learns how to be a woman from her mom, but what it means to be a woman from her dad. How he treats her and how he treats her mom tells her what it means to be a woman. Not how to be a woman, but what it means to be a woman. That's pretty important. Men, we hold a huge key to the future of our daughters, and I believe our granddaughters. If dad is not there, they develop personalities that are insecure and anxious, and they have difficulty forming healthy relationships with men. You know, it's kind of like they want a healthy relationship and they don't at the same time. And Anthony taught on husbands and their wives the other week, and I just listened to him teach that. And remember that story he told about the dating couple, and she asks her boyfriend, "Hey, you remember what happened a month ago?" You know, it was when they started dating. Well, he was thinking about, I don't know, you know, you heard the story. It was all about, he was thinking about his car, maybe oil change, maybe it's time for an oil change, you know. You listen, you better, that was a goofy story and funny story, but it really pointed it out that men and women are different. And so don't treat your boys like your grandsons and your sons, like your granddaughters and your daughters. They're different. They think different. And you got to sort of get into that thought process. You really do. Yeah, a young man entering into an unhealthy relationship, like with insecure, anxious, he wonders what's going on because he doesn't know how to connect with this girl and she don't know how to connect with him. What you don't realize is some of you are married to women who didn't have that, but it traces all the way back to their relationship with their dads. I promise you. So much of it does. Also, if dad's not there, they often become inappropriately self-assertive, angry, or even promiscuous. Promiscuity and pregnancy, I have this in another paper here in front of my notebook, are classic outcomes of daughters who are not connected to their fathers. They're looking to define a male image for themselves through love and attention from the only available outlet, which might be their boyfriend. She thinks he will love her if she gives him what he desires most. I saw it repeated over and over again in the community I grew up in. You know, brothers, I grew up in an Anabaptist community, conservative Anabaptist community. I couldn't count on my fingers and my toes the amount of confessions I heard for fornication and even for adultery. And it hit me because when I started reading the scriptures, I saw fornication shouldn't be once named among you. Listen. What I see, and this is why I'm sharing this with you right now, What I see is when I look back on it and I think back on it and I think of our environment, fathers were not connected to their sons and their daughters. And so the girls were not jerk-proof. And in the church, there were plenty of jerks to take advantage of them. Do you hear me? I know this is too blunt, I guess. But to me, if we don't prevent stuff, if we don't become the dads that our children need and fulfill those roles in a healthy way, it's not going to work. Okay, growing up in a home where dad's not there, or if he's been abusive, they either hate men or they complain bitterly all the time. Or they end up throwing themselves at men because they want desperately, desperately to have a love that their dad didn't give them. Do you hear that? It's there. It's what's there. And we call these women loose and promiscuous. But if you really know her, you'd know she's just a desperate daughter longing for a daddy's love. Okay. Don't allow your daughters to be a desperate daughter. Okay. Are you with me, man? It's so crucial. So crucial. Dad is destiny. Dad is a key to a young daughter's life. I had a book at home that was called The Effective Father. It's an old book. I don't even know if it's in print anymore. I wanted to before I came look up some of the books that I have because, you see, I wasn't sure how to be a dad. And so I bought some books and started reading them, like Ted Tripp's book, How to Shepherd a Child's Heart. I read those things because I wanted to learn how, because I wasn't taught these things growing up and in church. But it's why we're talking about these things, because it's so important. Let's look at some practical ways that we can interact for our daughters, dads can do for their daughters. Number one is establish with her a clear definition of what it means to be a real woman. And you're going to do this mostly by the way you treat her. By the way you treat her. Okay, a real woman is one who rejects worldly temptation for significance. You know what? Everybody longs for significance, and so they pursue it in wrong ways. And I watch them. They're going to do it through makeup and through the way they dress, and they're trying to get affirmation. They're trying to get attention. And so they're trying to get significance. They're reaching out because if we give them significance, if we give them value, then their heart needs are met from a healthy male figure in their life, dad or granddad. And maybe you know children or homes where dad isn't present. You know, I just believe in spiritual fathering, where we adopt a family, we adopt people, we invite other children who might not have a father present in their lives into their home, into our homes, and we let them engage with our families, so they learn to also experience what it means to be wanted and loved and cared for. But passivity inhibits a man. You know, one of the founding things in Encourage Men was reject passivity. Reject passivity. It's so easy to be passive. It's one of the things that, you know, Encourage Men has really helped me kick into gear when I didn't want to collect leaves and I didn't want to do things. And I'm going, you know, it takes too much effort. I have studying to do. And I would ask you, brothers, pray for this coming weekend. It's the Anabaptist Awareness for Sexual Abuse. Okay, I've been pulling material together. And you know what? It flows out of this. You know, it really does. Because do you know why we're dealing with so much sexual abuse in our environments? It's because of dads who haven't been there in those girls' lives. Can you hear me, please? So pray for that. I got preparing, you know, I've been teaching a lot in the last little while, and now this afternoon I need to finish up the material I'll be teaching this weekend. And so if you would, I'd ask you to pray for that. Pray for the event. Pray for that people can hear and learn and it'll change. Okay? Yeah. What inhibits a woman from her calling is her believing something is better than what she has now. And see, that's once again, if she isn't having her needs met at home, then she thinks, well, I got to go find it. And they're going to go find it, and whether it's in a boyfriend or if it's in work or wherever it is. So you want home to be a place where she feels very comfortable in who she is as a young girl and as a growing woman. Eve was the first one who looked at the fruit and looked at it, and it was enticing, and she saw and she She says, that'll make me wise. That's better. It's better than what God has already given me. And that's what women are dealing with today. And your daughters will. Our children will. Our sons will too. But then that's when we come along and we walk alongside of them. We say, hey, you know, that might look really good. But if you stay in conversation, you can talk about those things. You can have those discussions, and those discussions are going to be important. But it says Adam was with her, and he was silent. He didn't say, no, God told me don't eat that. We're not going to eat that. But he was passive. He was silent. So your daughters, granddaughters, are going to be constantly offered a better life, that maybe it's better out there for me. But she believes in God's priorities. And the only way she's going to believe in God's priorities, if God's priorities are your priorities, okay, and my priorities. And we talked a little bit about that and all the amount of money that these properties are going for. You know, I'm going to digress a little bit here. But, you know, I don't know. Many of you are businessmen. You in some way or another, you're businessmen. But, you know, the motto that our early Anabaptist fathers, in fact, they actually put it over some of their stores. It said, for the glory of God and the good of our neighbor. Okay, do you hear that? That was a statement that governed their lives. For the glory of God and the good of our neighbor. Do you know what the motto is today? It's for the purpose of getting as much profit as we can. Okay, we become profit and growth oriented instead of thinking that our businesses are actually just simply a means of God helping to provide the needs in a community. Can we rethink some things, man? Maybe you can rethink your business. In her youthfulness, she has a tendency to think that she can have it all. She can fry the bacon, love her husband, raise her children, keep her home clean, and work at a significant job. And that's a lie. That's a lie. An older woman to a younger woman. Sweetie, you have to make choices because you can't do it all. All you need to be sensible about, and you need to be sensible about that, so you need to choose wisely. You need to decide what your values are and what your priorities are because you're not going to be able to do it all. A real woman believes in God's priorities. Hey, you can't have it all. I used to think I could have it all, and I realized, no, you have priorities, and you got to choose priorities. A real woman nurtures the next generation. Okay, a real woman nurtures the next generation. And then men model it by nurturing her. You don't nurture on the fly with your last amount of energy that you have left. Nurturing takes time, planning, and energy. That's a statement by Sam Gingrich from Life Ministries. Many of you would know Sam, really admire him. We had him teach already, encourage men years ago. Listen, I'm going to read it again. This is from Sam Gingrich. Men, model it for her by nurturing her. You don't nurture on the fly with the last ounce of energy you have left. Nurturing takes time, planning, and energy. If you're going to do Passport to Purity, it takes time and planning and energy. Okay? Timmy wasn't doing well at school, and the principal called Timmy's mother. And as they talked about his failure in his homework and the way he was interacting with the others, the teacher mentioned that periodically when she would get on Timmy, he would just mutter under his breath, "Love is slow. Love is slow." The mother broke down and started crying. The principal said, "Well, why did that upset you?" And she said, "Well, I have to get up and get Timmy dressed at 5 each morning to catch a subway train into the city, and I have to get him there. I'm always pushing him. At night I come in late and he's wanting help with his homework, and I'm saying, 'Come on, Timmy, get it done, get it done. We've got to get to bed.' And then I say to him, 'Timmy, you are so slow.'" And Timmy says, "Love is slow. Missing Dad. Nurturing takes time." And because Dad wasn't there, missing Dad's, Mom has to fill in the gaps. I really appreciated something that my brother told me early on in my marriage. He says, "Your real job starts when you get home from work." Can you hear that, man? Can you really hear that? Okay. A real woman expects God's greater reward. Dads, help Mom stay home. Help Mom stay home with the children, especially in their critical formative years. Young husbands and fathers, if at all possible, help your wife nurture those children. you know, your real job does start when you get home. I told you about a breakfast, and he has five children. And I said, you know, when you get home, your wife has been with those children all day long. And you're home, and you worked all day, and so you're tired. But your real job starts then. Yeah, because she needs you to kick in. She needs you to engage. And I think he's the kind of dad. I know he's the kind of dad that really does. But that is so important. Yeah, 75% of everything your child will know will come by the time they're 5 years of age. 75%. I don't know who put these crazy percentages together, but they learn a lot in those first 5 years. So you got those first 5 years to really form that child's life. Their sense of trust. Okay, here's, I think it identifies some of it. Their sense of trust, their sense of identity, their sense of communication and relationship, their capacity for intelligence is all established by the time they're 5 years old. And there's realms of social data telling us this. Congressman William Maddox took his daughter, Allison, to work in Washington. And in the afternoon, they talked with a female accountant and then to a woman who practiced law and now manages a team of writers. And Maddox goes on to say, the best part of the day was when we were driving home in the car, and he tells her, it's then that I pointed out to my daughter, Allison, some of the exciting tasks that you saw today were carried out by female colleagues in the workplace. But they're the very tasks that your mom used to do. She was regularly meeting with congressmen and senators. She used to do writing projects and public speaking. She graduated summa cum laude in her college. But Allison, I said, you must be a very special young man because your mother could be doing that yet, but she chose to stay home with you. So help our men, help our moms make their job easier by helping them stay home. And we don't really have a real problem with that in our homes. And yet sometimes I think we neglect helping them take care of the children so that they feel overwhelmed. Support, honor, and cheer for feminine values in your wives and daughters, okay? Reward the desire to cook. Talk about the importance of the priority of marriage. Talk about what it would take to have a good marriage. Lift all these things up as values so it would give them a perspective later on in life. If we're gonna live like this, Dad, it's you who needs to say it. You need to be the one rewarding them, cheering them on, when they take some time for those special priorities. Talk to them in a healthy way. And I already talked to you about this. Date your daughters and stay involved with their lives on a personal level. I never forget, my wife and our son and daughter were going to New Mexico to a wedding, a Navajo wedding. And we were at Nebraska, and we were at a church conference there, and then from there we were going onto New Mexico. And my son got real sick, and we didn't realize at the time, but he was on a battle for years. But he went with my wife's parents. They went back to Ohio, and they stayed there. And my daughter, who was like 14 years old, and I traveled to New Mexico by ourselves. So we spent like 4 days in the car driving. You know what? I treasure that time. We talked about all kinds of things. And we talked about dating. We talked about marriage. We talked about, I told her, I said, I really want you to have to be able to detect the spirit of a man. And we were driving into St. Louis, and here was this big double billboard with a naked lady on it, which just had a towel draped across her breasts and across her hips. But everything else was very provocative. And I just looked there. I said, hey, why do you think that billboard is up there with that gal on there? And I said, that catches the eye of every man driving down the road. And they're trying to sell whiskey. But I said, I just want you to know that the enemy wants to use the female body to try and get men's attention. I said, I want you to be able to discern the spirit of a man. Watch where a man's eyes go. Do you know what she did? She turned to me. She goes, Dad, I don't like where the Sunday school teacher's eyes go. And I said, you're right. He's not a good man. Isn't that interesting that I had to tell her that about her Sunday school teacher? But he wasn't. She developed early, so she was you know, becoming a woman, and very much so. And she saw where his eyes went. Isn't that interesting? You see, we took, you know, how can I replace that time that we could talk for hours and hours? And sometimes we just drove along and enjoyed the scenery, and she read books or whatever, but there were times when we got a chance to talk. You need to find those times, man, where you can connect with your children. I'll never forget that. Encourage and participate in ceremonies celebrating true femininity. I know one of the things that I really encourage wives to do, and you can encourage your mothers to do, is when you, and I would encourage you to do it too, okay? I tell mothers, you know, talk to your daughters when they're 8, 9 years old and tell them about how their bodies are going to be developing, their pituitary gland is going to secrete hormones that are going to tell the rest of her body that she becomes a woman, and then talk to her about her period starting, what that's going to look like, take her to the store, get her a little kit that would have pad, tampons, whatever, and give her some instructions so it doesn't catch her off guard. I had women tell me that they thought they were bleeding to death because they were not prepared for it. But then when it happens, say, hey, when it happens, you come and tell me, and we are going to celebrate because God's plan for you to become a woman is happening. You know what? You can tell your wife and tell me that too, because I'm going to take her out on a date and we're going to celebrate her becoming a woman. You see, when you celebrate womanhood, all of a sudden you give her a picture of what's valuable and what's important in life. Men, we can do that. We can do that. It's important. Yeah. I also bought my daughter, and I'm taking up your small group time. I also bought my daughter I went to the jewelry store, and I bought her a gold heart. I don't know. It was probably about 1.5 inches in diameter. And you ever see them? They have a little key inside. And you can just wiggle a little bit, and the key breaks out. And I gave her the heart, and I kept the key. And I said, honey, I really want your heart. I want the key to your heart. And I said, I promise you that when the right man comes along, I'm going to give him the key. And that was a really special time because, you see, she knew that I wanted her heart, and I told her why. I said, I want to protect you. I want to care for you because you're mine, and God gave you to me as a gift, and I treasure you, and you are a treasure. And so that happened when she finally got the man who, when she was engaged, I took that key, that little gold key, and I gave it to her boyfriend. I said, here's the key to my daughter's heart. I don't know if you ever remember me telling that story. I told him, you can date my daughter if you protect her. She's always safe in your presence, and that you protect her from your sexuality. And 2 weeks after they got back from their honeymoon, he says, Dad, I did what you asked me to. You see, he deserved the key. Okay, men, we can play a role in our children's lives to give them what they need. Father, thank you for giving us daughters and granddaughters. Would you help us to be not the supermen, but just the men that you ask us to be, to love them, care for them, treasure them, spend time with them, nurture them, provide for them. Lord, some of us maybe are feeling overwhelmed this morning. Don't allow that to be the overcoming thought. Just help us to be men who, when we are at home, we engage with our sons and our daughters and our wives in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed to small group. There'll be a small group up front here for those who don't have a small group.